D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I'm the only one who dances all the time.
I got too much skill to waste.
That's what you call it.
You just jealous, brother.
Jealous, brother. Did y'all see the FBI guy?
I love this book. Oh, my God. Yeah,
new subject. Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at our virtual studio. With me, as usual, Heath Elsonson to my right. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next hour, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information with an emphasis today on useless information. Yes. Than anyone needs to know about. So from Los Angeles to New York, what do we say? Ontario?
Yeah.
To Houston. Grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do all those places across the globe. Because we can't forget about all of our European people that listen to us, follow us. Yeah. We can't forget about those
from
guys.
The other side of the pond.
All those
from
guys.
Down
from
under.
Key West to Singapore.
There you
Singapore.
Go.
We're going to have to get a map out because this is way over my head.
From the North
this
Pole
week
to
on
the South
tap,
Pole.
Exactly. This week on tap for you, Tomas, he's going to have his 2019 mock draft ready to go.
I'm on.
Heath brings this in-depth report on the team's deep snapping situation. You won't want to miss that.
That's right.
And forget plastic straws. Is the NFL considering rule changes to eliminate plastic jock cups? Okay. Is it the environmental hazard they think it is? We want your reaction. All that and more.
After all that sweat, I can only imagine.
No. I mean, I'm trying to make the show interesting. I got to come up with something. Yeah. But I think I have it. Where is it? Let's see here. Let me read this to you guys.
Go ahead.
All right. A Subway diner was, they say that weird. A diner, the person dining, not the actual diner, if they would call it a diner, was shocked when they measured her 6-inch sub and it was only 4.5 inches.
Yeah.
Let's see. Carly Colton ordered a sandwich for lunch, and after opening it, she thought it looked rather small.
Yeah.
She then decided to whip out a ruler and measure the sub.
Yeah.
And found her suspicions were correct.
Yeah.
The sub, only 4.5 inches.
Yeah.
She said she popped out to grab something quick, quick bite to eat. And then that was the nearest place to go. When she got back to the office, looked awful small. She was kind of irritated. You know, man, you're not getting your value.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. You measured it.
You know, I have so many things I can say, but I'm like,
hold on,
know.
Hold on.
Maybe the sandwich was cold.
Hang on. Hang on. We have a top 10 list for you.
Okay.
The top 10 things the sandwich said when it was exposed for being only 4.5 inches.
All right, go ahead.
All right, number 10.
Yeah.
It was cold.
There you go.
Number 9. I'm a grower, not a shower.
There you go. I've used that one before.
Number 8. I'll grow once she puts her hands around me.
There you go.
All right. Number 7.
Yeah.
It is really the national average.
There you go.
Number 6. Sizes and everything.
There
right?
you go.
You know, it's the motion of the ocean.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just saying, you know.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Number 5. I was on white bread. Wait a minute, man. Maybe
man,
it was an Asian
right,
bagel
man.
Or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sesame seeds.
Maybe it's rice flour.
Number 4. It's not uncommon for sandwiches to have performance issues.
There you go.
All right. Number 3. Keep that ruler away from me. Number 2.
Yeah.
I was in the pool.
There you go.
And number 1. Thing that the sandwich said after it was exposed for being 4.5 inches, it's really all about the girth.
There you go.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, tequila.
The top 10 list
That's
of
right.
things
well,
that the
you know, more than a mouthful's a waste, so there you have it.
I know nothing about that. Next you're going to be making mayo jokes. I don't
all
know
of those top 10 said by men everywhere.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go.
I mean, there's still more stuff. I mean, there's still more that's out there, but that was the top 10.
All right,
I
well,
think
that's
it
good.
Needed,
that's
absolutely
good.
Needs to be said.
Was that Papa John's?
No,
Subway.
I'm
sorry, Jimmy John's or Subway?
Which it was Subway.
You know, if it'd be like you were talking about the contest, the what is it? Not Miss America, but
the Miss America beauty pageant.
Yeah. So all these sandwiches, they would bring them out and they would put themselves on display in like
right.
a bathing suit competition. Yeah.
That's correct. Not anymore.
No, it's done.
I'm so sorry,
it's
man. Done. We're done with that.
Not happy.
No,
about
it's
that.
Not. It's about talent now.
Hmm.
You know, like who
really?
Can twirl the best.
That'll
baton?
Be new.
Who can twirl the best baton?
Yeah.
Who's going to tune in, Tomas?
Not me.
So, okay. So, Tomas, tell us. I think we started talking about this. Interesting. Tell us more. I don't know if everybody
well,
understands
what's come
what
out
about.
Is that the new director of the Miss America pageant, Greta Carlson, Gretchen Carlson, sorry, former Fox News woman, she's decided that they have to have some major changes, so they have eliminated the swimsuit competition. There will be no more swimsuit competition at the Miss America pageant.
Yeah.
Instead, they're going to emphasize entertainment. Hmm. So there'll be ventriloquists. There will be twirling ballerinas. I mean, yeah. I don't.
Musical glasses.
Musical Ooh. Glasses, yeah. Comedians,
yeah.
perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know, but all, there will be no more swimsuit competitions. And to tie into that, Dave. Now, my understanding is that the NFL, you were talking about replacing plastic cups. My understanding is that the NFL is considering changing the cheerleader uniforms because they also have a lot of plastic. And so that's going to be being changed now. I understand
yes.
that they're
Your
thinking-
inside sources.
My, a source not to be named who was named at some future date.
Gotcha.
That source has informed us that the new garb will be going back to medieval times.
Oh, they're going that way. They're going way
oh
back.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There will be hoop skirts.
Mm, nice.
And Victorian collars.
Yeah.
On
you
all
guys
the
length
women
of their neck.
Sideline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just because, you know. It's
that way
a,
they can't be objectified.
That is correct.
That's what it is.
That's
I don't
right.
Do that.
But they're still going to keep it $7.25
minimum
wage for the payment,
yeah.
so don't worry about
the
it.
The Miss America pageant also decided one of the changes had to be no more ratings. Is that, is
that's
that
yeah,
correct?
Right,
the
right,
ultimate
right.
goal?
That's right. There will be no more sponsors.
All the stuff you said, I'm going to obviously cut the show short so that we don't miss a minute of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't want to miss a minute
right.
of that.
All
right. All right.
Just let me know.
Hey, I say we get the show started.
Let's get it started.
It's already off the rails. But anyway, hey, exciting news day.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated. It's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Listen, I want to give a quick thanks. I don't know, what, two shows ago, we gave kind of a heartfelt, hey, give us a follow. We kind of realized that we don't do that much, and the more you learn about this whole podcast, VCast, thing there's it has a lot to do with all of that, you know, getting
yeah,
likes
yeah.
and thumbs up. So we kind of
right.
So who dat Wayne and Rave to Dub Grave. Here's the thing, I know there are a lot more people who went out and did some positive stuff for us. I didn't realize how all over the place we are, and I don't mean that to sound braggadocious. What I'm saying is, you know, we're on Podbean, we're on iCloud or iTunes, Google Play. You guys are Google or smartphone.
Android.
What do you call it?
Android
guys. See, I'm an I guy, and so like
that
I don't
explains it all right there.
I don't have access to all those different
I guy. I wonder if Apple
platforms.
Has that one patented.
I guy.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm gonna sell that.
Yeah.
I'm an I guy.
Go hurry up and register.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that real quick.
And
so
just tell them, you know, anybody owns an Apple is a show or not a grower.
All right. So anyway, I want to thank you guys and. We appreciate it, and we hope you continue to do it. I mean,
yes,
listen,
absolutely.
This is thumbs a labor ups. Of love for us. Yeah, the thumbs up. This is a labor of love. I do it personally. Is when I see there's more people listening and the positive results.
Yeah.
To me, that's why I go out and do it. So if you have a chance and you can run out there and you can give us a thumbs up, whatever. You know, positive review, we appreciate it.
Yeah, and don't forget to call us. What's that number again, there, Dave?
Why are you trying to put me on the spot? 701-901-1295. or you can email us. And man, I'm starting to really like the email thing.
Yeah.
At first the hotline, the graffiti hotline was cool, but I like the emails because people get. I don't know. It's just a little more fun. But that's bsandbeer@icloud.com. Give us an email. Give us a hotline call.
Or follow us on tweet.
Follow us on tweet Twitter. Tweets. Yeah. And listen, if you follow the VCast, it's on, what is it? I don't even remember. YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. So it's new, man. I'm working
like,
on
it. Y'all
remember how long it took me just to remember your names and then our email address and stuff. So
yeah, Tomas, you know, over there, Heath over here.
But I did it on purpose for the challenge.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah,
oh,
now I can do it.
Now we know the truth comes out.
All right, so let's get to some Saints news. Not a bunch out there, but hey, we'll find something to talk about, I can assure you. Let's see. We got a $3 million cap relief from Fleener. So we knew it was coming down the pipe. I think that my first reaction was I was hoping that Fleener would actually be able to play. I was hoping that
he doesn't even know where he is. Something out.
Yeah, and so they end up cutting Kobe Fleener after his second year, concussion issues, health issues was the main concern. Now, he was obviously not as productive as we'd hoped he was, but really it was the injuries that derailed him. Yes. So we get some money back from that, about $3
million. $3 million.
Yeah. Problem is, that's more going to be, how can I define this, maintenance money. That's going to be money to, like, all our draft picks assigned, in case we have to pick up a veteran or something later in the season.
Right.
We're not going to be able to do anything fun with that because anybody worth spending that kind of money on is already playing somewhere.
Yes.
So that's going to be – it's nice to have that money towards next year. Towards
signing. And he'd be saving that up for Michael Thomas.
Well, yeah, a lot of those guys we have to sign. Not, you know, I said, I think early in the season we talked about it, and we were like, this offseason. But it's actually not this coming offseason. The following offseason is going to be the one where a lot of the bills are coming due.
Yep. So it's time to get it done now.
Well, if we can – I don't know. That 2 years in advance might be a little bit too far down the road. To sign a guy.
Well, when they come into their fourth year, when they end those 5 year,
it's time to get a Super Bowl win now.
Absolutely. We talked about it's 2 years. I mean, not reasonable. And listen, I know we can get into.
I think
it
we've been saying
years.
That for about 4 years now. Though, so
I
I'm
know.
Not sure
that,
now,
how many 2 years? Call me out. I'll be that guy.
There was that article that just came out where they interviewed Adrian Peterson, who's always been the number one guy on his team when it came to being fit. And they interviewed him and said, well, the only guy's ever beaten him, Drew Brees.
That's true. He spoke highly of Drew Brees.
He's the man.
Okay. Yeah. So, listen, it's not that we don't know. How do I say this? It's not that we don't know that Drew Brees works out hard. It's not that we don't think that he's a team leader. But I think that statement by Peterson really put it in perspective. He's talking about that he's not just the team leader and he's there a lot of hours and watches a lot of film. He's actually the hardest worker on the team.
Yeah. And in shape and being able to do his job. I mean, again, go back and think about this. How many games since he's been here has he missed? You know, he had that plantar fasciitis thing like I had. You know, I was out for 3 months not being able to get on a treadmill. What, he missed one game, two games?
Did he even miss a game?
He missed one. I think
he missed one game for something.
That's right.
At some point.
I don't
remember.
And it was that plantar fasciitis thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, the guy is in tremendous physical shape.
Yeah.
And you have to be between the workout business, being sharp mentally, his diet. Look, I don't put it past the guy go 5 years.
Look, I think he has time left.
Yeah.
I definitely think he can keep playing at a high level. We know he takes care of himself, but you can't cheat.
All the time.
Yeah. Time. Yeah. You know,
that's true.
Or odds, basically. Yeah. When you get to a certain age, the odds rise dramatically that any one thing, no matter how much you take care of yourself,
one shot
you know,
get you going. Yeah.
Well, it's a possibility, and it's something you have to plan for.
We have some backups, you know, for quarterback. Are you going to talk about the backups and
quarterback? Yeah, we got tons of. As soon as Heath gets finished with his deep snapper preview,
all right.
We'll talk about the backup quarterback
situation. Okay. Sounds good.
No, but you kind of stole my thunder, Heath. That's the key element, is it's not that Drew Brees can't do it anymore. It's that he could be perfectly healthy. He could be the Drew Brees we saw last year. But let's just use last year, for instance. Last year, if he gets hit, do you remember that sack that the 49ers had on Drew Brees? Zach Strieff gave up this sack. They showed pictures and Drew's neck and his face was all contorted.
Yeah.
He got clotheslined. It ended up coming back as a penalty.
Right.
If he takes that hit this year or this past season, it could have ended his whole career.
Yeah. As every year that goes on, is a more and more chance that that hit will
exactly
be
and
sure.
And that's the key to it, is that he could literally play five more years. I just got finished writing a tweet about saying literally too much.
Yeah. Literally.
But, and he could literally no, but he could play five more years. Absolutely.
He could, yeah.
But any one hit and his career's over. You know, and I'm not saying any one sack or whatever, but one big hit could be the end of his career, and that's where you run into the problem. If you pay this guy $25 million on a four-year contract in this season, he takes that hit, it's over, and you're stuck.
The fact is that eventually time runs out, and the closer you start getting to that time, the team has to take that into consideration.
Yes.
We're not just talking about Drew Brees' future and his well-being. I mean, the team has to keep that in consideration. I mean, it's as simple as that. So
we need to win two in a row.
Yeah.
Two Super Bowls in a
row.
That'll
solve it. And, that's what I'm saying. It's simple.
Yeah. It's simple, yeah. I mean,
No big deal.
They need to listen to us more.
I
don't know. This is the off season. We sit around here at the table. We make some plans.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Let's move on. One of the other pieces of news that comes, because if you're not aware of it, right now the Saints are having their mini camps, and they practice 3 days a week. I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
Media has access one day a week.
Yeah.
And they'll come up with some quotes, and we could sit here and pick that one little sentence out apart and make a whole show out of it. But
right.
Alex Anzalone, the flowing hair god.
Anzalone.
He says that his shoulder troubles are behind him.
Yep.
Now, we may have touched on this last week because we talked about linebackers. But to have him say that, it's funny how it just, when somebody says something that you want to hear, it becomes reassuring, you know? So him saying it makes me feel a little bit better about it. And I heard, and I haven't confirmed it.
An unknown source.
Yes.
Yeah. Out
one of our unreliable and non-existent sources
there you go.
Said that he had surgery, and this is the first time he actually had surgery on the shoulder.
Yeah. No, I understood he had it once before. It's just that it was minor surgery before, and it didn't do the trick. That was the problem. But this time, they actually went in there and fixed the issue once and for all. That's my unknown source says that that's the way that it went down. That the first surgery was not effective because it didn't really address
the
issue.
So they went in and scoped it or something.
Right.
They didn't go in there and actually do some structural reconstruction.
Right. Well, this time they did.
And I don't know if that's what they did. You're saying that's what they did?
That's what they did.
Okay, I'm going by my source tells me that they went in and reconstructed the shoulder, and it's completely healed now.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me would be the key to the whole thing. Is the guy has talent. Who was it? One of our old linebackers, I don't know if it was Shanley or Fujita, said the kid could be an all-pro. I mean, he's that good. And that's, I mean, everything we heard and read, he had first-round talent.
Just think back to last year. When he was playing last year, the first few games, you know, he was covering that corner. Nobody could get around that corner on him. He was covering the field. You know, until he got hurt in the London game that we actually then realized, well, you know, thank goodness we have Robertson, but he's going to get beat around that corner.
Yeah. There's no doubt the guy has talent.
Absolutely.
And let's hope that this is really the case. Guys, I hate to be negative. I really do.
You don't often do this.
I hate to do that. You're right. Every once in a while, though.
It's a Heath rant.
But look, how many times do these guys come out and go, you know what, guys, I don't know. You know, I don't know if this is behind me, man.
I'm afraid
this might be, you know.
Cameron Meredith last week, didn't he say, man, I'm not sure if I'm going to be. No, actually, I think about it now. He said, I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
He's ahead of schedule.
I'm ahead of schedule.
You know, you don't expect him. Yeah. So, I mean, look, I hope so. I really do. I hope to God that that's the case and that whatever they did was, you know. But I wouldn't have expected him to say anything else, so let's see it, I guess. That's what I got to say.
All right. Well, if he comes back, it's a huge boost to this defense.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a level where we need to see in order for our defense to take the next step, which is something we need to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, apparently, we got a lot of steps we got to take.
Yeah, we have a lot
defense
of steps.
Defense has many, many steps they have
Matter
to take.
Matter of fact, let's go ahead and bring that up now.
Yes, go ahead.
So ESPN, who's given us some pretty favorable reviews so far this offseason.
Yeah, sure.
We've been in the power rankings, I don't know what, like number two, number
28,
four.
29.
No. It's been pretty good. So we get a favorable review. They say we're going to be the number one offense this year. That's what they predict. So, you know, at this point, you know, just like,
you're
man,
smiling,
like,
you're like,
excited,
yeah,
you're thinking.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Then if you continue on down the road.
That's right.
the 30, not 30th, not 31st.
No.
They predict that we're going to have the 32nd ranked defense
That's
in the league.
That's correct.
Listen, okay, look, I don't have my.
It's worse than that, though, Dave.
Where's my Homer glasses, Tomas? I don't have them on.
All right, here you go.
All right, help, my Homer. My Homer glasses.
Don't really put them on here. Blind yourself, dude.
Yeah, fall out of my seat. Putting Tomas's. Hold
I'm
up, man.
I'm glasses.
Don't get nauseous.
I'm dizzy, bro. But listen, there's no way in the world you could look at this team. I wouldn't even be having this conversation if they'd have said 15th, 17th, 18th. I'd be like, you know what? Okay, we were injured last year. I think we could do better than that. But it's understandable. Somewhere in the middle of the pack, I get it. But to suggest that the Saints –
dead last. 30 seconds.
So lazy in the way that you writing this report that you're just going to use the status quo of the last several years, which is understandable. You just completely disregard everything that happened in 2017 as it doesn't matter.
Well, it's even worse than that, though, Dave, because it goes back to, as you had said before, yes, we're 32, but according to ESPN, between 32 and 31 is this huge
gap.
Chasm. we're not even close. It's like we're on one side of the Grand Canyon at 32, and 31's on the other side of the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's how pathetic we are.
So they didn't just project that we'll be 32. Okay, now we're just embellishing a little bit for the sake of embellishing.
Well, because ignorance deserves more ignorance. I mean, the bottom line is that I don't know how anybody with a straight face could look at all 32 teams in the NFL and pick the Saints after what happened last season to have the 32nd ranked defense.
No.
That's just stupid.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, but it's stupid.
And, you know, again, it's the offseason. I don't know. And I try very – as soon as I start beating my fist on the table, I immediately stop and think to myself, okay, are you being a homer here?
No.
But I just don't know the way. And I'll say this, too, and I'm going to use you as like this – you're not one – who I feel like reads a lot of these articles and reacts to them. And whenever I told you about this, you were like mad. You were like,
and I didn't even read it. I mean, I'm sorry, but it just, that's stupid. Nobody can seriously analyze the NFL after the past season and come up with to the conclusion that the Saints are going to have the worst defense in the league.
Yeah. Don't know how they can come up with that. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break, fill the cups up, and we'll come back with some more BS and Beer podcast.
Hey there, this is Cooter Wilmine of the Boudreaux Parish Discount Gun Shop. Due to the high demand of high-quality tasers, we're overstocked, and now we're blowing out our inventory. There are other uses for tasers other than law enforcement, such as defending yourself from home invaders. But let's say you might not have concerns about home intruders. Well, you might have a mischievous dog that likes to get into trouble. Well, you can dial it back a touch and... Or what about an undisciplined teenager that likes to take out your truck in the middle of the night because they think you're sleeping? And what about that wife of yours that likes to sip on a little bit of grandpa's old cough medicine and then start getting a little mouthy with you? So head on down to Boudreaux Parish Gun Shop and pick up your taser today. Tell them Cooter sent you.
Kissing Hands and Shaking Babies, the BS and Beer podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio. I was going to do the backwards thing. I'm Dave Romero. Listen, in the break.
Did you fill up your cup with that 4.5?
That's...
All right, never mind.
He's talking about cups. He's talking about filling it up with 4.5. I'm not involved in this conversation. You were talking about I'm trying to figure out.
I didn't
we were having this long
that.
Conversation. Oh my gosh! So we got into this long conversation.
And mind you, we're not even drinking.
And he starts explaining about the estrogen that's in the water.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, I'm starting like, you know, when I was younger, I'd jump off of stuff. And Tomas is like, well, you're just getting older, you know? And I'm like, is it that I drink too much water? So I don't know, man. Yeah.
You thought they told you drink eight glasses of water a day.
4 ounces a day.
Problem is, they didn't tell you that it's full of birth control pills.
Man.
That's what you get for drinking tap water.
I'm like, you know, all that stuff, I'm trying to be tough. Like, I don't drink that stuff, man. I drink water right out of the tap. Oh, I'm not a sissy, but really what you're doing is making yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I drink real men out of the hose.
Hose water.
Because I want the three of us to last a long time. Next week, I'm going to bring in, just for us, some new bottled water. I was trying to hold back to, before making the announcement, but I'm going to come out with some new bottled water.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And I'm going to have the prototypes here next week. Get ready.
Hose
prototypes.
Water.
Yeah.
That's it. Hose water.
I'm not going to drink tap water. I'll go out and get bottled water. So you just got bottled water that was put a tap into it in Colorado or someplace else.
We got a sponsor.
Hose water. Whether you've been playing hard or working hard, when your thirst needs to be quenched, there's hose water. Found at any retailer where sports drinks are sold.
There you go.
Or connected to your faucet in the backyard if you don't want to pay $4 for it. Hose water.
That's right.
Get yours today.
Hey, listen, we got to get paid.
That's right.
When you were a kid.
We got the prototype, the label, the new next generation, next gen stuff.
That's right. And drinking. Again, don't forget, you can pay using a multitude of varieties. We accept credit cards. Mm-hmm. We accept cash.
Uh-huh.
And we accept Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. Bitcoin. That's the big one because that's the wave of the future. So that way you don't have to do that thing. See, we take the hose water and we put it right in the bottle for
right
you.
Right in the bottle.
So you don't have to drink like it. It's hot. Yeah. Like you first.
No. Yeah. We let the first part go out because we have to make sure we have the best water for you.
The best hose water.
So when we turn on, you know, just like fountains, you know, the water it hits your head and some of it goes all over. So we put it right in a bottle.
Right in a bottle. Right. Let the hot water come out first, and we use brand new
hoses. We have a certain what is it, like our Q quality control department. Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
After so many gallons go through the hose, we go to Lowe's, we buy a new hose.
That's correct. Yeah.
Rigorous dry rot testing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure that brass end, because we don't use any cheap kind of metal. Yep. We have brass ends on our hose.
Right? We check to make sure they haven't been backed over by the car.
That's correct. I remember my father would do that all the time and curse up a blue streak. New hose! But then you go to the store and cut that off.
That was back when Barney and Rubble, they'd have the plastic, cement tires.
Yeah. You know, Barney and Fred.
Yeah. All right.
Yabba dabba doo.
So we're really trying to sweat this out. We'd like to get about an hour so we can get you a whole commute. But right now, all right. So do we go with the breaking news?
Breaking news.
Hold on. That's right.
That's right. There you go.
All right. Breaking news. Here's the thing. Taysom Hill was seen holding kicks.
That's correct.
Yes. Holding kicks.
Holding snaps.
You know, he was receiving a snap, placing the ball and a kick. Now, as silly as that may sound, and I'm sure it does sound a little bit like insignificant, the fact of the matter is that's your backup
second
quarterback.
Second string quarterback.
That's your second string guy.
There you go.
So, you know, he's a guy who can throw the ball, but he's also the guy who's not really working with the one. So during practice, he can go work with the kicker during practice, and because there's a lot of timing that needs to be perfect, so these kicks are going to, you know, not have any issues.
Right.
So when you start seeing – there are certain little things. The fourth preseason game, check out who's on the kick team. You can find out who some of these lower guys on the roster, which ones are making the squad.
There you go. Yeah.
Another thing that's a dead giveaway is who's doing the holding for the kicks.
Yep.
Not so much in the games, but practice. Because, you know, they can trot anybody out there, but during practice, they want to make sure that it's 100%, the mechanics are perfect.
And furthermore, he already has experience on special teams. So not only, I mean, he's a multidimensional player.
Yeah.
On special teams, not only will he be holding, but he will also be rushing.
Yeah.
The block, the punt.
I'm not sure if this is good or bad. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I hope that somebody listens to this and says,
I don't know if this really foretells whether he's a backup quarterback. I mean, I think certainly the Saints would love for him to emerge and be the backup quarterback. But if nothing else, I mean, think of the extra athleticism that he brings to the position, right?
Yes.
What happens if they do want to run fakes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not only a guy that can throw the ball, but he's a guy that has good wheels, right?
Right, right.
What if it's a botched snap?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it gets dribbled along on the ground. He's got to pick it up. He's much more likely to be able to run around and potentially make a play.
As opposed to Tony Romo.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes, absolutely.
I'll give you another one. I don't know if you've seen the videos or not, but I saw a couple of videos where he was side by side with Drew Brees during the practices. And he would throw the ball, and now he's doing just like Brees. He throws the ball, ball's out, now he's looking at his second.
And he still goes through the progression. Yeah.
So, again.
And then if, you know, God forbid we get one blocked, We've seen him on. We've seen him as a gunner on a team. He'll run anybody down.
You know, and I don't know if you're doing that as a. I don't think you're being funny when you say that, because that's actually. I mean, you know, you get in those situations that ball gets blocked, or I mean, you know, I haven't seen the last few years, but you see these long kicks, and then a guy starts returning them.
Right.
And after you break that film down, you start realizing that everybody on the kicking team, the smallest guy is a tight end. You know, I guess the holder. But the point is that there's not a lot of guys who are going to chase somebody down.
Right. Because they're all big bodies.
Yeah, they're all big body guys. So to have a guy like a super athlete that's fast to be able to at least maybe attempt to chase a guy down.
Is
positive. All right. So let's move on. To I tell you, man, it's trying to make stories out of
this. That was good. I mean, I think we hit the point there.
Yeah, well, I hope you all enjoyed it. So, let's see. Down to the last one. Oh, no, we have two good topics here. Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
I'm trying to become a legend.
That's right.
Year in and year out. I'm trying to build on everything I did last year. I'm trying to be 10 times better than what I was last year. Then next year, I want to be 10 times better than I was this year.
Yep.
It's a little confusing, but I think he's saying he wants to be 10 times better every year. Now, that's pretty lofty goals.
Actually, it'd be thousands of times better.
Right.
Yeah.
You're starting to get exponential.
Yeah.
I'm no mathematician.
Yeah. I want to be logarithmically better next year than I was this year.
There you go.
All right. Any comments? Marshawn Lattimore, what are the chances that he becomes
a guy like that on a team, I mean, why do you expect better than 32 on defense? I mean, come on.
No. No. I get what you're saying there.
Yeah. Well, now it could be not just playing. It could be leadership quality on the team, making sure that the rest of the fellows on the team, you know, he feels more confident to make calls from his position. You know, those are things that will improve his play because he's improving the people around him.
Yeah.
You know, so I can see where he can think that, look, I've got some places that I can improve on, and I want to improve on those places.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great attitude for this man to come out and say, look, I don't care what people think I was good or not. I know I can be better, and I'm going to be a lot better.
Well, here's the thing where I agree with that, because sometimes you hear about the sophomore slump, and what the sophomore slump is in a lot of occasions is defenses catch up with you. You're a quarterback. You go out there, you do certain things. Man, I'm good when I roll to my left and I throw from this and these type of routes. NFL defenses have a whole offseason. And literally, these coaches don't go in and just sit down and start drinking coffee. And, you know, it's like they literally go into the office 8-10 hours a day. In offseason, it's not like the regular season. They're not going in for 14 and 15 and 18. They go in there and they just breaking down film.
Yeah.
And then what they do is they find a way to stop you from doing what you do best.
Exactly.
Then once they take that from you, now they're going to say, okay, you better develop those skills in other areas. If you don't throw well going to your right, well, then all of a sudden, they're taking the left from you. You're going to the right. If you can't make a play, then you see guys wash out because they're not able to take it to the next level.
Exactly.
So with him, it's not so much because he's a defender. Sometimes with guys like that, they're so good in their first year, they just kind of take the offseason off. You know, man, I'm just going to go sit down, relax a little bit. I'll hit workout later. They don't take it that serious because it came too easy to them.
Yeah.
And that's my concern with guys like Lattimore who are ungodly talented. Is that they just it goes to their head. Based on that comment, doesn't sound like it.
Plus, you know that Marcus Williams is out there practicing his tush off, you know, because he wasn't happy with the way things ended. So you just think about the youth that we have in the defensive backfield. You know, these kids are all, they know they can be better. They're pushing each other to be better. I see it all as positives, really.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that we're going to see a better Marshawn Lattimore, and that's kind of scary. I mean,
it's already pretty good.
I don't know. It's going to get a little bit stronger. I don't know. Again, now we can go back to that 32 ranking from ESPN. I just don't know what goes through their mind to think that. All right, let's switch gears unless y'all have something else on Marshawn Lattimore.
You get it right yet.
Madam Moore. All right.
Hey, let's hope he takes a leap forward like Crawley did between year one and year two.
Can
you imagine Lattimore with that kind of improvement?
Well, I was going to say, you know, Crawley is not on Lattimore's level, but if the improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 10 times
That was
better.
A 10 times improvement.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, man. Can you imagine? Exactly. I mean, what do they do? Just, like, put everybody on the defensive line, let Lattimore cover
the rest of the whole field. He's got it.
We'll put Williams back there at free safety about 30 yards deep just in case
Yeah,
they got it.
Well,
just imagine
–
the opposition comes up and says, "Okay, we're gonna put three receivers in." We're like, "Go ahead, not a problem. We're still gonna play Island. That's fine with us. Yeah. All right, put four receivers in. Go ahead. Got no problem. We got four problem. Islands.
So
out
which
here.
One
no
you
problem.
Gonna put Island on? No, we got Islands.
Yeah, right.
He's on all of them.
He's on all of them. He just got locked down. All right, so let's move on. The new return rules and how it will affect the kick returns.
Yes.
I had an interesting little tweet conversation with one of the New Orleans media, and I can't remember his name. Apologize, and I don't want to stop the show to look it up. But he actually put out a video, and he talked about the kick return. He said that it's actually going to help the return. And he was the first person that I saw or read that actually gave an opposing view, because everything that I've heard, seen, read is that it's going to be hard. You can no longer have a wedge. And for those of you who don't really understand what that means, is there are big guys, and it used to be a three-man wedge.
Right.
Back when I was in high school, and there's two guys, the two guys next to the kicker on the kickoff team were wedge busters, and their job, literally, their whole job was just to blow those three guys up.
Yeah.
So you run 40 yards downfield and throw your body into three offensive linemen, and that was your job.
Yeah.
And so the running back, essentially, the running back, the receiver, you catch the ball, and you run into the wedge right behind those guys. Now it's somewhat similar to getting a ball on a handoff. You know, they block, and then you find a hole and you take off running.
Right.
Ideally. They went where those guys several years ago, where the rules changed where they couldn't have three men. It went down to two men.
Right.
Now they have eliminated the wedge altogether. Another rule that they're putting in is that they're taking – now we're talking about the returners. The returners – and I'm not talking about the return of the ball. I'm talking about team people on the return team. Now have to line up closer to the ball. And so when the ball's kicked, they run back, and then they can turn around and block. So that means that they're running at the same speed with everyone else. And I definitely see where this will reduce collisions, because no longer do you have a guy standing on the 10 and another guy running from the negative 40, and you run at each other and hit each other. Right. The problem is, I don't know how in the world you could possibly think that's going to help returns.
Also have to be closer to the line, the kickoff team? Don't they also have to be closer to the line so they can't pick up as much speed?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the changes as well. They can't be way back and get a running start.
Yeah, they can't get that. You know.
I think they have to be standing.
So no more standing still and take off running. Well, and then now that are kind of equalized the fact that the guy who's essentially trying to block you is going to be running side by side with you trying to get back.
Right.
But now, instead of being in a position to, for lack of a better term, impede the guy facing him, set your feet, and then block him, you're now going to be trying to shadow him, and I just cannot see.
So what is this, the get the returner killed package? No, what this rule is?
Yeah, and am I wrong?
I agree with you. So your guys on your return team, your blockers are going to be less effective at blocking because they're running at the same speed to get in front. You can't have the wedge anymore, so now it just sounds to me like the guys on the coverage team have more of a wide open shot at taking your head off when you're coming down the field.
It'll be safer for all 10 guys on the return team, except for the guy who catches the ball, who's going to get destroyed and this is what I foresee. Now, having said that,
what's the rules on like a Monday night game when it's a full moon? Do they have a different scenario?
Or they'll change it by then?
You know, it's like, come on, man. I'm sorry, but this is all just
getting
stupid.
I would say this. I'm going to go on the side of saying that it's a positive thing. And here's what I'm going to say about it. Because it really has to show your athleticism. No, I'm serious now. Yeah. Because if you go back and you think about the one kick that comes to my mind, the kick where Kamara got the ball, and he was in the end zone, and he almost took a knee. And they said, you know, I see a crease right there. I might be able to do something right there. And he took off. And he took off, and he didn't stop till he got to the other end zone. Yeah. And again, if you go back, Hester, Dion, all these people, they beat the other guys. So it's about the athleticism of running as opposed to brute force. So I'm going to say that, and because I think of this, you were saying it before about having Tayshaun Hill back there to have at least one athletic guy. On kickoffs and punts, don't be shocked if it changes everything. It won't be those big wide body guys anymore. You know, they're going to have a lot more tight end,
they've already
linebacker.
Changed that.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of reports already that the body type of the players that are going to be on the kickoff return team have changed. I can see where the kickoff team will change too, because they won't have to run into
a
300-pound lineman back there.
Yes.
So what you're going to end up with is a lot more of the back end guys. You're going to end up with DBs, receivers, linebackers.
Yes.
Having said that, man, I just don't know how you're going to take off running as a kickoff return guy and blocking, be able to get to a point where you can turn and block the guy. Like, because keep in mind, like, you might have a 15-yard head start on him, but you don't necessarily know exactly where the ball is. You're running towards the ball, and what defender or, you know, kickoff guy are you going to pick up? And once you pick him up, wherever the bat, you're no longer blocking him and trying to maintain. In any blocking, you're going to get up in the guy and you're going to try to maintain your block, move your feet, keep your feet wide, and block. Now you're just going to be running and you're kind of like, yeah, more like a gunner. Think about a gunner on a punt return.
Yes,
team.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
those
yes,
defenders.
Yes. Right.
It's going to be like that, but there's going to be 11 of them. And why do you think that they put, and this is just coming to me now as I'm talking, why do you think they put two guys on the gunner? Because there's no one guy that can run the entire length of the field with you and maintain position between you and the punt returner. And those guys have two guys blocking them, and they still beat them half the time and get to the, you know, the other time they block them into the sidelines. But yeah, but half the time with two guys blocking you. Now, keep in mind,
schemes have to change. I mean, the coaching. Schemes have to change. Athleticism has to change. The style of play. You're talking about, okay, we got two guys on a gunner, but they're right on top of them. Now, let's say that you're not on top of them. Let's say you're 10 yards back. And you start running when he runs. Like you said, well, it's going to be about how do you use your arms? You know, how do you plant your legs? I mean, it's all going to be technique, scheme, coaching.
Right. I agree. Until we actually see it in play on the field, not going to exactly know it. But I just, in my mind, trying to use some other experiences, playing ball, coaching ball, and watching tons of football, I'm literally trying to think of how I can say, well, how about let's look at it from a different perspective. And I just look at it and say, man, that's going to be a hell of a task to block those guys. But we'll probably start seeing maybe some cross blocking or something where you take off running and you're not going to sit there and try to block the guy who's running essentially, who's parallel with you. You might say, look, you're the inside guy. You need to block the outside guy. And then you cross-block, and it makes angles easier.
Scheme. So, scheme. Yeah. I'm excited. I think we're going to have at least half a dozen returns as a Saints for touchdowns.
All right.
There you go. I'm going to call it right now.
It's going to be interesting to see which teams prepare the best for the changes, right? Yeah. There are going to be teams that are going to come out and do much better at this than other teams.
Absolutely.
And see what kind of an impact it actually does or doesn't make. Yeah.
Well, according to our special teams coach,
yes,
on some interviews I heard him.
The young one or the old one?
The old one.
Oh, okay.
He invented it. And he thought about this 22 years ago.
They finally coming around my way thinking.
Yeah, and I came up with this when we were still wearing leather helmets.
He's hilarious. Anyway, you got any final thoughts there, Heath?
I got nothing.
No?
Tomas? You got nothing, seriously?
I got nothing.
We miss that.
Come on. I enjoy when you have nothing. Final thoughts?
4.5 inches worth.
Wow. Heath, brother?
Yeah.
You got nothing? Couple minutes. Well, anyway, I would just say, you know, I'm sorry, Dave, but I don't fold mine in half for anybody. But go ahead now.
Oh, God. I feel like I'm back in elementary school.
Yeah. I'm just uncomfortable that it's like saying that at the same time you touching me is just like, you know. Anyway. All right. Hey, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. Writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Everyone is a so dumb, eh? We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.